When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening around the planet. It is Midday Madness time. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. And the number is 1-300-736-736. It's the open line number and it's brought to us by Werribee Kia. And you can drop down and see the team at Werribee Kia. David, Janan, Aid, Jim, the whole team, they'd love to see you. The open line is open. The next 2 hours is yours. Anything in the world of sport that moves you enough to pick up your phone and dial that number, we will get you on. That's the Midday Madness promise. Heaps I want to get to. Plenty of text coming through already. Keep your text coming through on the 40 Winks temper text 0433 98 11 16. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is temper, T-E-M-P-U-R. A couple of things on the tribunal last night. I'm pretty happy with the Toby Green decision. And I'm pretty happy with what the tribunal told us last night. And in a nutshell, I like the fact, I think Green braced for contact. I think he braced and bumped mid-marking contest. And I'm glad the tribunal clarified it for all, because we started with this yesterday, clarified it for all of us last night. Jump to mark and only to mark, and then you are fine. You're free to play if you continue in the marking attempt whilst you're in the air. But jump and change your mind to bump, or brace for contact, and you're suspended. So I think it's a great clarification. You just have to go for the mark and 100% be focused on the mark. So you can jump into a marking contest and accidentally hurt someone if you are 100% intending to mark. But if you are not intending to mark, that's trouble. And at the last second, Toby Green wasn't intending to take the mark. So I'm pretty happy with that last night. But as I just mentioned with Jared, I still think Jesse Hogan deserved a fine for what he did for that action. Your calls on that and a heap of other stuff. Dano in South Yarra is already on the pressure meter, so we'll get to the pressure meter very shortly. William Balaclava was first on the line quite a few minutes ago, though. Will, welcome to you. Will, great to have you.
Thanks, Mike. Just the news overnight was obviously on Max Holmes returning in 4 years, which is a strong report, is a great thing. I was just wondering, casting my mind back, long traded up to get him at pick 20. If you had a redraft these days, what do you reckon he'd think? Would he go top 10?
Well, I need to have a look at that draft again. What draft was it? I'd need to go through that draft and have a look before I say whether he'd be a top 10 redraft. I'm not too sure who else was in it, Will. What draft was it?
So the 2020. So you, Hogan, went number one.
Well, I presume Hugo Hager would still go number one, but let me have a look at the draft first before I can answer the question off the top of my head. Well, I'll have a look at it now. Let me flick to the page. 2020 draft. Hugo Hager 1, Riley Thilthorpe 2, Will Phillips 3, Logan McDonald 4, Braden Campbell 5, Denver Granger Barras 6, Elijah Holland 7, Nick Cox 8, Archie Perkins 9, Zach Reed 10, Luke Pedler 11, Tanner Bruin 12, Tom Powell, 13. Heath Chapman, Fremantle, 14. Connor Stone, 15. Lockie Jones, 16. Ollie Henry, 17. Ryan Angwin, 18. Finn McRae, 19. Max Holmes was 20. Okay. Let me have a look at that. If I'm redrafting, he's certainly not number one. Errol Gordon was pick 32. I'm taking Errol Gordon number one. There's my number one pick, Lou. Will, it's not Max Holmes, but it's Errol Gordon. Thanks for the call. I'll have another bit of a think time on that draft very shortly and tell you who I might take too. I might take Logan McDonald too, the way I'm going, ahead of Jamara Ugal-Hagan. That's off the top of my head as well. I like what was a couple of other players in that draft that are just starting to get their careers going. So Ollie Henry looks good as well. So the Cats have got a couple of good ones out of that draft. And we haven't really seen Riley Thilthorpe this year to know whether he's going to be on that same improvement curve that a couple of the other guys in the draft are. So Thanks for your call. Interesting question first up. Dano in South Yarra wants to talk pressure. Welcome to you, Dano.
Pipe, thanks for taking my call. I just got to say, in terms of the pressure index, what about the teams in the West? You had Simo coming into the year, probably the most pressure on a coach aside from probably Bevo and Justin Longmuir. You know, there's no pressure on West Coast anymore, and so who cares what's going to happen with them against the Gold Coast this week? Everybody's going to think, 20 goal loss. Who cares? They have good vibes coming out of the derby, but if the Dockers don't win this week, it's going to be are we going to see a repeat of Brett Radden? And is Longmuir going to be on the hot seat?
Well, he is in the hot seat. I've got him 4 in the pressure meter this week, Dano. Let me run through it now, then, now that you've opened up that one. So I think the Brisbane Lions are number 1 when it comes to the pressure meter. 12th, 2 wins, 4 losses. I think they'll still make the top 8, Brisbane. But they were grand finalists last season. They've wasted chances to win flags. And this list has to win one, you'd think. And if they don't finish in the top 4, they'll likely not win a premiership this year. So I think the Brisbane Lions, due to their expectation pre-season and where they are now, 12th, they're number 1. Because I don't think the expectation was quite as high on Fremantle. I've got Port at 2. Home game against an opponent with players out and down on confidence, St Kilda. They're coming off an embarrassment last week, Port Adelaide. You could argue that Port should be number 1, but the expectation was much higher on Brisbane, I think, at the start of this season. And Port are 4-2, so they're a lot better placed than the Brisbane Lions at 2-4. But I've got Port Adelaide at 2 on the pressure meter. Adelaide, I've got 3. Must win for Adelaide at 15th on the ladder. 1 win, 5 losses. Their season is over if the Crows lose to North Melbourne and Hobart. And then I've got Fremantle. Began the season with 3 wins in a row. Extended their coach's contract, as you mentioned, Dano. People were jumping up and down saying, get off, Justin Longmuir's back. But lose at home to the Dogs, and Fremantle will be 3-4. And you're right, Dano, they'll be right back where most people predicted they'd be pre-season if they were going to play a low-scoring kind of game. Because it's the game plan, not just the ladder position and the win-loss ratio, Dano, that's a factor in all this, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's going to be just pressure on, are they going to trade Darcy? What are they doing with Luke Jackson? Are they going to be linked to any kind of other trade targets of anybody who's from WA? It's East Coast. You know, Logan McDonald, there'll be links about that. You know, it's just going to get really, really hot for Justin Longmuir and the Fremantle Dockers. You've got to say that.
Appreciate your call, Dano. Have you got a thought on the pressure meter? In fact, I haven't got a 5 yet. So if you want to help me out, I don't have any Victorian teams in the top 4. And who should be at 5? Who of the Victorian teams is under more pressure this weekend? Who's under more pressure tomorrow to win? Essendon or Collingwood? Essendon's 7th, Collingwood's 10th. Essendon's going okay. Collingwood's going okay too. But if Collingwood lose, there's maybe more on it. Maybe there's more pressure on Collingwood than Essendon tomorrow. St Kilda's season's slipping away too. They're 13th on the ladder, 2 wins and 4 losses. There's a bit of pressure on the Saints against Port Adelaide. And there's a lot of pressure on North Melbourne to be at least competitive. They've lost all 6 games, haven't been within 4 goals of any opponent at the final siren this year, but it's low-hanging fruit to talk about North being in the pressure meter. So is it St Kilda, Essendon, Collingwood, or is there pressure on Geelong maybe to get the job done against Carlton and prove how good they are? Keep your calls coming. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. Paul and Doreen, we'll come to you shortly, but Jason Epping's on the line, wants to talk Toby Green. Welcome to you, Jason. Great to have you on.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Good to be on. Love the show.
Thank you.
I was listening to Jared this morning, and only the description of it was Toby Green was supposed to take a duty of care to protect Boyd. Is that going to encourage like more people to start running back with the flight of the ball, knowing there's a big chance that they're going to be protected, like back in the days, like Nick Rewald and Jonathan Brown used to do?
Is it going to encourage players, do you mean?
Yeah.
Discourage?
I feel like there's been a drop-off in players running back with the flight, but now it might give players more confidence to run back, knowing that they're going to be protected from the bloke coming the other way.
Well, you've got a duty of care if you're coming anyway. I said this yesterday. It doesn't matter which part of the compass you're coming from in a marking contest. you've got a duty of care, whether you're running back with a flight or running with the flight of the ball or running in from the side. Everyone's got the same duty of care. But you have to go for the mark, Jason. So if Boyd braces for contact and takes out Green, Boyd's in trouble. If Green keeps going for the mark and Boyd braces for contact, tunnels him and he smashes his head on the deck, he's probably going to be in trouble.
Yeah, right. So do you think Green had enough time to spoil them? If he had enough time to brace?
Yeah, that's the trouble. He braced for contact and he shouldn't have braced for contact. And that's the delineation here. Let's remember, that is the difference. He braced for contact and in the end wasn't going for the mark. And that is the difference maker in this. Rod in Q, welcome to you, Rod.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. For once, we have some sense coming out of the tribunal. I think both decisions last night were absolutely correct. There is no way known that Toby Green shouldn't have been suspended. In fact, I thought he would have been suspended for 2 weeks, not one. And Hogan hardly touched him. But I think we actually had some sense coming out of the tribunal. That's the first time in a long time.
Yeah, appreciate your call, Rod. I don't like Hogan's action, and I think a fine would have been a better result given that he did actually touch him. If he throws that punch or throws that stiff arm and doesn't make any contact, it's still the same action, but no contact would mean nothing to answer to. Some contact, I think, means something to answer to, and that would be a fine, given there wasn't any damage done. So I would have still given him a fine last night. Paul in Doreen, you there, Paul?
Dwayne, thanks for taking the call. I'm in agreement with you. I think Toby Green needed to be suspended, and I'm glad the tribunal upheld it. And, just going on Nick Riewoldt's inflammatory remarks about it, you know, I understand he was a fantastic player. I loved seeing him run back with the ball, John O'Brien, all those blokes, but we're in a different world now. There's a class action going on with 60-plus former players that the AFL has to look at. There's two recent retirees because of concussion with Murphy and in the NRL, that Finucane guy, and even the NRL have got a $4 million lawsuit coming at him because of this as well. So this is the different world. So Nick Riewoldt saying people aren't going to watch AFL and, why is this happening and why is the AFL doing it? That's because that's the reason why. So I think he just needs to think about what he says sometimes.
Yeah, people are going to watch AFL. Wayne Carey a couple of weeks ago said he's not going to watch again. I have texters on this show saying I'm not listening anymore. I've had enough of you. And then they text again 10 minutes later with another opinion. I mean, people love footy too much, Paul. It's flying. There's lots of people watching it on the telly. There might not be as big an attendance as we probably would have liked, but there's a lot of other factors in that. Price to go, difficulty in going, all that kind of stuff. But footy's flying and people are going to go. And I think you need to be understanding of what we want to get to. And that is we want to get to every player on the field. And this is the basis for me. Every player on the field has to have intentions to win the ball. Win the ball. And that means that it's different if you're going for a mark as opposed to if you're going to bump a guy, whether he's got the ball or bump a guy who doesn't have the ball to then go on back and get the ball. Because even though you bump a guy who hasn't got the ball on your way to trying to get the ball, your bump process is not actually in the process of actually winning the ball. It's bumping him first and then I'll win the ball after that. So that's why there's two different things there to me. Marking contest for me, I'm glad they clarified it last night. If you jump in or marking contest 100% hell-bent on only marking the ball, then you're going to be fine even if you accidentally hurt someone. George in Northcote, you there, George? Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. How you going?
Good.
Mate, I've got a problem with all of this explanation that the AFL's given about marking and bracing. Now, we're evaluating these instances in split-second moments. Like, yeah, it's all right for everyone to look at it in slow motion and, as to what the person's intentions were. But when you think about a person who's running for the ball to take a mark and he jumps off the ground to take the mark, and in that last split second he knows there's going to be a collision with a player, it's instinctive for a person to brace himself, if he knows there's going to be a collision with the other player. I mean, how can you stop the bracing aspect of it if you're off the ground and, and you make that decision a split second before you make contact with the player? That's impossible to do.
You've got to learn to do it, George. The players have learned not to sling tackle blokes into the ground, and we were told, oh, that's just an instinct in tackling. Oh, you can't stop that. You're slinging tackle into the ground. Players have been doing that forever. We can't change that. Or they've changed it. Players know how to adapt. They're smart enough, George. You can't brace for contact in the air. Now, if you want to belly flop on the guy accidentally, so halfway through the air, you can't mark it. You're trying to protect the guy and you try not to hurt him. You try and belly flop onto him or open up your arms and legs and hit him, you know, with your belly button. Then at least it's an attempt to not do any damage. But bracing for contact to protect yourself is probably the worst thing you can do because it can hurt someone else when you hit him with your hip. Thanks for your call, George. We'll agree to disagree on that. Stephen Q, welcome to you, Steve.
Hey, g'day, Dwayne. Dwayne, I think the AFL is very confused with what to do in these situations. So basically what they're saying is Toby Green shouldn't have braced. He should have basically gone up with a knee, totally knock out the player in the back or the head.
Steve, we had a caller on this yesterday. The AFL is not saying go up with your knee and totally knock out the player with your knee to his head. They're not saying that, Steve. So I don't know why people want to throw that up as... They're not saying do that, Steve. They're saying just go for the mark, Toby. That's what they're saying, Steve. Just go for the mark, Toby.
Dwayne, so if he goes for the mark and knocks the ball with his knee up, what's going to happen?
That's incidental contact to our game, Steve. That's just the way the game is played. If you're 100% going for the ball, you're fine. They reconfirmed that last night, Steve. Some people don't want to buy it. Some people don't want to chew on it. You can't cop it, Steve. If you're going for the ball, you're going to be fine.
Dwayne, I buy it, but what they're effectively saying is you put the knee up and knock somebody out and it's incidental contact. That's what they're saying.
No, they're saying that if you go for a mark or you 100% go for the ball, because the bottom line in our game, when you write down all the things that are important in our game, what the AFL is saying is, number one, is go for the ball. And if you're going for the ball as part of our game, you're going to be okay in a marking contest because you are going for our ball. And that is the number one part of our game. It is we're trying to encourage it. Everyone just go for the ball. And if there's an incidental contact, hey, it's a contact sport, things are going to happen. But no one's saying, hey, put your knee up in a marking contest and knock the guy out. That'll be fun. The AFL is just saying, don't put your knee up to brace for contact. If you accidentally put your knee up going for the ball, it's a different story than putting your knee up and knocking a guy out as you're bracing for contact. Great to have you call those, Steve. Obviously, you weren't with us yesterday when we talked about this. Dave, Peter, Connor, Imran, Mark, Nola, we'll get you all. It's Midday Matters.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Grab out your calls and your texts. Chris in Sandringham, you want to talk about Toby Green. Welcome to you, Chris.
G'day, Dwayne. I just wanted to talk. Previously, you said that's not what the AFL is saying. They're saying that go for the ball, right? And I'm not, this isn't the hill I'm going to die on either way. I'm not that, you know, invested in it. But there seems to be a difference when the ball's in the air and the ball's on the ground. When you look at the recent sort of incidents with Crouch, for example, there seems to be, if you've got both players going for the ball and one cops one high there, there's a difference if you're going for the ball in a marking contest, you cop someone high with your knee.
Well, no. Well, Crouch went past the ball and he bumped. So he was, his intention was player first, then ball second. That was the difference between Crouch and this one in the air as well. So Toby Green jumped in a marking contest, then braced for contact, bump in the air. Crouch, it was a bump, so he also got suspended. Butters had the out of always going for the ball, never changed where he was looking, was always looking at the ball and touched the ball. Now, Butters could have been suspended as well because he only just touched the ball, but in the end, it was decided that Butters' sole intention was on the ball. That's why he did get off. So that's what the AFL is telling us. If your sole intention is on the ball and you don't change your intention, then you'll be fine, and Butters was fine. That's so why I said the tribunal saved the game. By doing that with Butters.
You don't need a duty of care for the player going. If both players are going for the ball and you've got a, you know, it's fairly likely that you want to cop someone in the head with your knee.
No, your duty of care is to play the game fairly, and that is go for the ball, not the player, Chris. And if there is accidental, incidental contact in the process of playing the game, then that's just the way it is, Chris. It's a contact game. but your main intention has to be going the ball. Otherwise, you can't play footy. You can't have a rule about going for the ball and all of a sudden penalise players because all of a sudden in the middle of going for the ball, you think they did this or you think they did that. If your sole intention is going the ball, then you've got an out because that's the game, Chris. Going for the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just think it's become great with the split second.
Well, I think they clarified it last night, Chris. So I think they actually made it pretty clear last night. Toby Green in the end wasn't going for the ball, so he got a week. They said that Butters was going for the ball, so he got off. I think they have actually... I know it's easy to criticise the tribunal and say they got no idea, this, that and the other. But I actually think they've done a pretty good job last night with the Toby Green decision. That's just the way I see it. But Joel in Bannockburn, welcome to you, Joel.
Hey, Pipe. I disagree with you totally on this one with the Butters of first. These blokes are that good, mate, and they're that tough. They go in that hard. He knew exactly what he was running into.
Joel, just before you go on, I actually agree with you on that. So I agree with you. Butters knew he was there, and Butters knew, I think, I'm with you, I think he knew he was going to make contact, and I think he knew he was going to take the player out. But the letter of the law, the way it's written, and this is where it does get confusing for people, and I get that, the way it was written, because he touched the ball, just a little tip of the ball, because he always had his eyes on the ball, he gets the out under the way the laws are written because his intention, his eyes, and he touched it were on the ball. But we all know, Joel, in footy, you can write rules however you like, but Butters knew he was there, Joel. We all know that. So gut feel, 20 years ago, Butters gets weeks. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing too. I was at the Crows, Blues game, and I thought, you know, Crouch was doing the same thing. You've got to remember, Crouch was going in a million miles an hour to get the ball, knowing he was going to make contact. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's still trying to get the ball. It's just that he's a hard little bugger, and he flattened him at the same time.
Yeah, Crouch did go past the ball more than Butters, though. That's the other thing that makes Crouch is a little different. But I'm with you. 20 years ago, gut feel, everyone would have said, oh, Butters, come on. You were looking at the ball. You didn't look at the player. You 100% were focused on the ball, yeah, but you knew he was there. And you probably should have taken more care than that because you knew he was there. But because of the way the law was written, Chris O had an out. Eyes on the ball, touch the ball. Peter in Preston, speaking of duty of care, welcome to you, Peter.
Yeah, hi, Dwayne. So it's a lot of talk about the duty of care, but my view is what about the duty of care for yourself? A lot of players put themselves in a risky situation. And you've got to look at, like, who's at fault. So, for example, we live in a world where people want to blame others. So if someone trips over a crack in a footpath, they want to sue the council. Whereas my view is open your eyes and have a look and you're responsible. So if you're trying to intercept a mark, like, for example, someone's got the run up the right of way, like 2 metre Peter or Green, and someone tries to come across and intercept that mark or spoil it, they're actually putting themselves at risk. And they should have some level of liability themselves. It shouldn't just be all put on the person that's actually done the damage.
Yeah, but the duty of care that Boyd has is to 100% go for the ball. That's his only duty of care that he's responsible for, and he was doing that. So we've talked about that a bit, and yeah, good to have your opinion on it as well. Dave in Box Hill, I know you want to talk pressure meter. We'll get back to that shortly. But Tom in Berwick want to talk Harley Reid. Welcome to you, Tom. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. My question is a bit of a strange one. Obviously, Harley Reid's being rested this week, which I think is a huge bummer. He's a bums on seat type operator. And I know that when you played in your era, it was less common for a player to get rested. What do you think about a player just being rested purely for a rest and not managing an injury or something like that?
I don't mind it, Tom. I think the high-performance people at clubs these days know the fatigue level of players, whether he's sort of redlining a bit with his fatigue levels mentally or physically. So I'm okay with it, Tom. I'm okay to default to that, even though it'd be nice in a perfect world if he did what Harry Sheasel played all 23 games last year and won the Rising Star. But I'm okay with it. And I know a few people aren't. And if you paid the money to go and see Harley Reid this week, you probably feel a bit miffed, but I'm okay with it. Appreciate your call as well. There's a lot of people that aren't, and I get that. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. 1-300-736-736. Keep your calls and your texts coming. You're with Dwayne's World, and it's Midday Madness. A couple of tests come through. Biggest round outside of the final starts tonight, and you're still arguing about the tribunal's decision. You'll never admit it, Pipe, but I'm telling you, the game is stuffed. Thanks for your text. I don't think the game's stuffed, but you call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. Anything in the world of sport you'd like to discuss, and it seems like a lot of people want to discuss the Toby Green suspension, and I'm okay with that if that's what you want to discuss. Dave in Box Hill wants to discuss the pressure meter. Welcome to you, Dave.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Mate, intriguing. We're a quarter of the way through the season. Quick one. Number one, pressure meter, Pies. Number two, Bombers, tomorrow. Bombers have got the lowest percentage in the eight. Our, we've got a, it's about bona fide, right? We've got to stand. The authority on the game this weekend is going to just show everybody. Carlton, you've got them all, mate. St Kilda versus Port Adelaide. Are Port Adelaide going to rebound? Blah, 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 blah. And we're coming into winter, Dwayne. This is the whole point. So pressure meter, to me, number one, Collingwood. Number two, the Bombers. Number three, Carlton. Geelong don't need to prove anything. Swans don't need to prove anything. Port Adelaide, number four, and St Kilda, as a roughie, as number five. What do you think about that?
Yeah, not a bad call. Dave, hold the line. We've got a Twainsworth T-shirt coming your way for weighing into the pressure meter. We'll take some more calls after the break. 1-300-736-736. I still think the Lions are number one because of the expectation that they'd win the flag this year. And they were the grand finalists last year and their 12th. Two wins and four losses. But it is interesting, and I've got a couple of texts here about who's under more pressure tomorrow, Collingwood or Essendon. One here, there's more pressure on my Bombers tomorrow than the Pies, Dwayne. For years, we have done this. They give us fans some hope by looking good and winning a couple in a row, and then we play in a big game like tomorrow and get our pants pulled down. Tomorrow is our chance to buck the trend and make a statement. Must-win game. Otto from Carron Downs. So who should be five on the pressure meter? Brisbane, 1. Port, 2. Adelaide, 3. Fremantle, 4. Collingwood, 5. I agree with you, because Collingwood does need to back it up this week. And Collingwood, well, Essendon's in a good spot. They're 7th. Collingwood's the team that's 10th. In many ways, Collingwood needs to win this and prove themselves maybe more than Essendon. But keep your calls and texts coming. Straight back after the break, and I'll give you an NBA update as well. You're with Dwayne's World.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Straight back to your calls and texts. Big apology to those people who've been on hold for quite a while. We've had a full board of calls from the outset at midday today. I try to get you as quickly as possible. Try to also give you as much time to make your point as possible. But we've still got a full board. Mark on the Limestone Coast has been on hold since 12:01. So, Mark, I will get to you. Nola in Perth, Sarah in North Fitzroy, Lee in Moorabbin, Alan in Sydney, Greg in Healesville. We will get to you all. That's the beauty of Midday Madness, but it's also the pain for you on hold for Midday Madness. But you call, you get on. We'll get you on before 2 o'clock. Quick NBA playoff update for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road. Minnesota has taken a 2-0 lead in their series against Phoenix, winning game 2, 105-93. Indiana leads Milwaukee 105-92 in the last quarter of their game 2, with Milwaukee leading the series 1-0. And Dallas and the Clippers have just started their game 2. Dallas lead 18-11 with the Clippers leading that series 1-0. Midday Madness for Work Locker, Carron Downs and Packenham. Work wherever you work. A couple of texts that have come through. Dwayne, truly, the game's never been in better shape, with exhilarating matches, crowds pushing record numbers, and Harley Reid and Nick Dacos showing us the future. However, the AFL should not take this for granted. Fix the rules and get the decision-making and umpiring balance right. Thanks, Greg from Caulfield South. One here, Dwayne. Collingwood won the flag last year. You've lost it. The Dons are 20 years behind them, mate. That's pressure. Ash, you make a pretty good point. That is probably pressure, and you're right. They did win the flag last year, so maybe the Pies aren't under as much pressure as Essendon. Greg in Healesville, you want to talk North Melbourne. I want to get to you as well. Lee in Moorabbin, I promise we'll get to you as well. Nola in Perth's been on hold for an eternity, though. Nola, welcome to you.
Oh, sorry. Listen, I'm actually... it's completely a different tack. I actually love all this Anzac Day promotions, right? But as a passionate Fremantle person, I probably could have gone to the club, but just between you and me, I think we've had a a pretty weak administration since day one. They should have moved heaven and earth to keep our team in Fremantle. And although at the time the council didn't want us there because it was a bit of an alternate type of council, the admin should have, you know, really gone all out to keep us there. But the question I'm asking, do you know who took the Len Hall game off us, which we started the same year as the Collingwood-Essendon game was promoted? And I know we will do a tribute to Anzac Day on Saturday, but the Len Hall game started the same year in 1995, and now it's just sort of got, you know, I think we could have promoted it as a special game for us here in Freo, because we don't actually get much hype. Mm. And I'm just wondering, I don't know who to go to ask why we had the Len Hall game taken off us.
Well, I think there's a sort of a rotation outside of Collingwood Essendon. The other game is being rotated a bit, the other Anzac Day game. So we've got another one this year, and it's Brisbane and the Giants in Canberra, which is a nice way to have a second Anzac game, I think, the night game at Manuka Oval in Canberra. So I'm okay with the rotation. Port Adelaide are desperate to have their Anzac game. They've got a special Anzac Day game that they always request to have as well. They're playing on a Friday night standalone fixture, so at least they get a little bit of that standalone love. But, yeah, I know where you're coming from, Nola. Everyone wants to have a piece of the Anzac Day action, and it's difficult to please every supporter of every team. But at least you do get to host a home game, and I think that's what Fremantle mainly asked for. That's what Port Adelaide asked for. Can we at least have a home game every year across Anzac Round, even if it's not Anzac Day? And I think Port Adelaide do get that request met, and I think Fremantle do get that request met. So keep on it, Nola. It's good to have your support for your great team. Sarah in North Fitzroy also. Sarah, sorry to have you hold so long. Welcome to you.
Thanks, buddy. So you're the guru of all the what's right and wrong in football. So I'm a Brisbane Lions supporter, and I was watching the game. Now, Jeremy Cameron at one stage either kicked or tripped McGluggage, then got jumped on a head-high tackle, and then got pinned for holding the ball. Now, I ask you this question. Why didn't he get cited for tripping or kicking?
Do you know what stage of the game it was, Sarah, that you saw it? Because I wouldn't mind having a look at it then if that was the case. What stage of the game did Jeremy Cameron trip or kick?
I think we were kicking to the right of the screen, so it could have been either, I don't know, whatever quarter that was. But I think we were definitely losing at that time. Could have been about half-time, just before half-time.
All right, I'll check it out, Sarah. Thanks for the heads-up. I wasn't aware of it. No one's texted through. Quite a few times I get texts and calls about incidents that I haven't seen, and it gives me the heads up for it. By the way, we had a great heads up yesterday on the text machines telling us that there would be a Lance Franklin appearance at the Hawthorn Sydney game this coming Sunday, that he was going to do a lap of honour or be honoured, and that ended up proving true. So thanks to all of you who take the time to send through text, especially that text to yesterday that gave us that story that Lance Franklin is going to be at the game this weekend. Fantastic text that was. Liam Morabin, welcome to you, Lee.
G'day, mate. Just like to make a quick point that I think Toby was gone, that he did brace himself for impact, that he didn't go for the ball. But I think in AFL, it's an extremely difficult game, that there will always be incidences. You see it in cricket with one team on the field, them going for a catch, them running to one another. And I think as well, when you have eyes just for the ball, I think you have given up and are not showing care for the other player, as you do not see it too often. The players run into fences or into the goalposts. It rarely happens, but running into each other, it happens more often than not.
Yeah, the peripheral vision of players is exceptional, Lee. They know when there's other players around, and the Butters incident is a perfect example of that. They had an out under the rules because Butters touched the ball and his eyes didn't leave the ball, but Butters knew that Banfield was there. We all know that. And that's why I'm of the belief that under the rules, it was the right thing to let him off because he was playing the ball, 100% playing the ball. But 20 years ago, I think the gut feel of the tribunal would have seen him get a couple of weeks because he knew he was there. Greg in Hillsville, you there? Greg, you want to talk North? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Hope you're well. I had the pleasure of going to see the footy on Sunday. My son asked me to go, and I said, yeah, that'd be great. And he goes, it's the grand final, Dad. I said,
Well, I suppose it is really, you know, the bottom playing the second bottom. But we are so, so far behind Hawthorn. It was pathetic. I mean, Hawthorn have only won one game as of Sunday, and we didn't even look like we were in the race at all. And I think Hawthorn actually took mercy on us. But, mate, I just want to know, where does the buck stop? I mean, David Noble got the raspberry after two relatively poor years. Clarkson has got a worse record than Noble, coaching North Melbourne. I think we should have jumped on Brady Ratton when he was available. He knows footy and he's well respected. But North Melbourne, we're that pathetic at the moment. We deserve to be relegated. We deserve to go to the VFL.
Yeah, well, I don't think you deserve to be relegated and go to the VFL. But do you think you should be in the pressure meter this week to be at least competitive? Maybe I should put North in there. It's such low-hanging fruit to whack North right now. But, yeah, we're all in the situation we're after. The last 4 years of finishing 17th, 18th, 18th, 17th, and now being 18th again. We'd all like North Melbourne to at least get within, you know, a kick or two of some of the other teams that are lower on the ladder, like Hawthorn. And to not get within four goals of any team at the final siren this year does put North under pressure. But again, it's kicking North's not fun. So let's just move on. We'll take a break. Mark on the Limestone Coast. I'll definitely get to you after the break. Alan in Sydney, keep your calls coming. 1-300-736-736. Pipe, Ari, the Lions on the pressure gauge. I agree with you. They should be number one. I've just run some numbers. I have them winning a further 13 games, leaving them with 15 wins. May just miss the top four, but they will make the top eight. Yeah, I agree with you, Stewie, in Perth. I think they'll make the eight. But top four, got to win this one. Back to the pressure meter after the break. If you've got a thought, who should be number five? Which Vic team? Essendon under more pressure than Collingwood tomorrow? Should I have St Kilda in there, given that they have a season that's slipping away? They're 13th, two wins and four losses. Should it be the Bulldogs, given Fremantle have lost the last three games? Or is it the Cats to prove themselves? Back to your calls and your text. You with Dwayne's World.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Mark of the Limestone Coast, thanks for holding for an hour. Welcome to you.
Oh, I'm glad I'm semi-retired, mate. It's a wonderful life over here. I really mean that. 2 points. I phoned up yesterday in regards to the Saints' unfair fixture, and a few other people have complained about their end of the bargain. We've got AI now. Surely AI can do the most fair fixture possible. So there's no excuse. And you can't blame some human being for the fixture. So I think in the future...
Yeah, they do send it to the US for some... They've got some crazy algorithm. They do send it to some company in the US that does these things. It's not just one bloke sitting in an office saying, hey, who do you reckon St Kilda should play next Friday?
Okay, so some people in America do it, right? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There's the problem. Now, secondly, Toby.
Yeah.
You think Aussie rules would be done in Australia, but anyway, you know. So, Toby, right? Here's the irony. If he had to cop the 2 weeks for that sling tackle against the Gold Coast, this would never have happened and we wouldn't be talking about it. So, irony's a funny thing, isn't it? And
yeah.
Sorry to disagree with you, but I'm with Steve, who phoned up earlier about the knees, and also the other guy who phoned up about right of way. I think it should have just been a free kick. I love Toby. I think he's fantastic. I think it should have just been a free kick. I mean,
Based on what?
Well, he was going for the ball, right? Now,
yeah, right up until the time that he wasn't. He was right up until the time that he wasn't, Mark. That's the difference where we agree to disagree. You think he was going for the ball the whole time? I don't think he was.
Well, what we're going to do, and I know you had a bit of a disagreement with a caller earlier, Steve, in regards to knees, but knees have always been used in the game to protect oneself in ruck and in marking competitions. And could you imagine if Toby Green and he has every right to run into a mark like that with putting his knee up, like that traditional style of doing an Australian rules mark, and rupturing someone's kidney.
If he does it on purpose, he's in trouble, though, because his intention is not solely on the ball then. His intention is on getting the ball, and I'm going to run my knee through his head while I'm there. So that's the difference. You can't do the latter. You can actually put your knee up to protect yourself if you're 100% going for the ball and your contact with the other player is accidental. Let's highlight the word accidental.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Another big hour at Dwayne's World, another massive hour of Midday Madness. You call, you get on. That is the Midday Madness promise, and I promise we'll get you all on. The lines have been full from the outset today, so apologies to those who've been hold for an eternity, including Alan in Sydney, who's been on hold for about 20 minutes. We'll get to you shortly, Alan. And also apologies to those who I tend to give you a minute and a half and then we tend to wrap you up because we've got a full board of calls that we want to get to. So apologies at both ends, but that's the beauty or the balance of Midday Matters. Speaking of the balance of Midday Matters, I'll read every text that comes through. So if you send through a text, 0433 98 11 16, on the 40 Winks Temper text, a great night's sleep, night after night after night, that is the difference. The difference is temper. I read them all. I don't read them all out, but I read them all. And also try to do some other stuff during the ad breaks and during the news, including respond to your calls. We had a caller early on talking about an incident involving Jeremy Cameron. So during the news, I've gone back on KO and had a look back. It was about a texter sent me 30 seconds before three-quarter time. Jeremy Cameron did throw a boot out, and he did trip Hugh McLuggage, and he was fined for it. So he did get a fine from the tribunal. So he did get a sanction. It wasn't a kick. It was a trip. I had a look at it. It was a trip, not a kick. And he got fined for it. And it's a first offence. So that's why he got a fine. And that was all. So that's to clarify that caller earlier on. It was looked at by the MRO. He did get a fine. Thank you for enlightening me to that because I was unaware of it. Now I have seen it. Dwayne, Pipe, I think it's time to give Mark from the Limestone Coast a rest. I know you call, you get on, but you know, give him a little bit of a spell. Mick, I promise if you call, you get on. I did give a few first-time callers priority over Mark. That's why he held for an hour today. But, you know, you call, I do have to let you come on. There are some callers that call breakfast and then come on with me. And sometimes I sort of give other callers a priority over them as well because they've already called. So you call, you get on, but maybe one a day is probably enough. But I do try and get as many callers in as possible. We had 50 call through on Monday. 50 callers we got to air on Monday. So let's get straight back to your calls now. Straight away to Joel in Druin, who wants to respond to the North caller. Welcome to you, Joel, as we head back to your calls for Midday Matters. By the way, brought to us by Worklock at Karen Downs and Pakenham Workwear for wherever you work.
How are you, mate? You got me?
Good. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, mate, just in regards to that caller about North, I'm a passionate D supporter, mate, and we were flogged from pillar to post for a long, long time before 2018 and then back into 21. They'll come good, mate. Like, we haven't, since 21, the D's have won more games than any other team in the competition. Like, it just takes time. I know people are sick of waiting and want change to happen now, but it'll happen. They've got a good young list. Larko knows what he's doing. They wouldn't have put him there if he didn't.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. So, as I said, they're low-hanging fruit. I don't want to whack North all the time, but I do get texts like this come through. This is from Joel. Dwayne, I'm a Kangas fan, and we need the media to start whacking the side. You need to bash us up. Me and every other supporter is bloody sick of our performance. So there's that text that comes through, and I get a couple of other texts as well coming through on that. Morning, Dwayne. Mike from Perth here. Okay, so you say it's no fun bagging North Melbourne after their bottom two finish likely for a fifth year in a row. You say they're low-hanging fruit. Well, you and your colleagues have no problem dumping on the West Coast over the last couple of years. You've constantly bagged them for their whole of club performance. I'd say North are so much more of a basket case. So North rattle cages still. Are you a North supporter, Joel, did you say?
No, I'm a D supporter, mate, but in the text message saying that you're bashing West Coast, the West Coast makes silly decisions. Like the amount of picks they gave up for Tim Kelly and the draft picks that those went for, like you've got to weigh up the pros and cons of everything. Like every club, that's why recruiting is such a big thing. That's why with Tim Lamb and the D's, it just makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Joel. Really good call. Really appreciate you kicking off the second hour. Hold the line. You've got a Dwayne to a T-shirt coming up to Druin for you. Alan in Sydney, you have been on hold for a while. Alan, apologies to you. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks, mate. You know I'm an old rugby bloke. I switched to the Swans in 82 when they came in. One of the experts said The rules are easy, above the shoulders and below the knees, and that's where it is. And the game has got that complicated, it's not funny. And I'm a died on Swan supporter. I was there when they lost 26 games in a row. And I still support them.
Yeah. No, it's good to hear, Alan. Most teams have had that period in their time frame, haven't they? Most teams at some stage are going to have a spot down the bottom where they're the worst in the comp and they need help and they're going to get kicked in the head.
They were bankrupt.
Yeah. Yeah, so was Geelong a few years ago as well, by the way. Nearly booted out of the comp, but couldn't pay their bills. Brian Cook came along, Bendigo Bank came along and helped out, and look where they are now. So, yeah, even the Cats were in a spot of bother. It was, can we sustain a regional team in the VFL was the talk at the time. The Bulldogs have bounced back from nearly being extinct. Melbourne and Hawthorn nearly merged, and look where Hawthorn is now. Look where Melbourne is now. They've won a flag in recent years. You're right about the Swans, Alan. So, yeah, everyone's had their time. North Melbourne's had a couple of good times. It's always going to be someone who's terrible. You just don't want the same team to be terrible 7 or 8 years in a row. Imran in Coburg, welcome to you, Imran.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. How's it going?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, just want to talk about, obviously, you know, Carlton GLB West, what a performance. Ryan Carlton, you know, to be down 20 points twice in that game, to win that game is outstanding, you know, and I want to say, congratulate Sam Walsh as well. I think he's emerging himself as one of the best players in the competition. Obviously, last year in the finals, it was the finals player of the year. And now, yes, first two games, you know, averaging that 35 disposals a game. I mean, this might be the first time we have one, two finalists in the Brownlow, both being in the same team with Patrick Cripps and Sam Walsh, Dwayne. So there's big things happening in Carlton. I believe they put a good spanking on Geelong this week. And, you know, they go all the way to win the grand final.
Imran, can I ask you, how old are you, may I ask?
23.
All right, so it's easy for you to say this is the best Carlton team you've seen. I appreciate your call. Thanks for jumping on. Hold the line, we've got something for you. You've got a grandmother ham, thanks to Barclay Smokehouse. And by the way, plenty still to come on the Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu. Beat the lunch lockout with grandmother ham from Barclay Smokehouse. Find it at your local deli. Sammy Evans is going to join us with the latest news after 2 o'clock, including the latest on the Tom Barras AFL Tribunal hearing for a dangerous tackle on Michael Waters, which has just started. So the Eagles are seeking to have that impact downgraded from medium to low. So he'll bring us the latest on that. LIV golfer Lucas Herb is going to join us. And Melbourne Storm General Manager of Football Frank Panisi. That's all to come on the Grandmother Ham Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu. But interesting, you've talked about Carlton. You're young. You've seen many a Carlton team. Had this call at Gerald from yesterday. The lines were full the whole day yesterday, so I couldn't actually elaborate on Gerald's call, but you've reminded me. Here's Gerald from yesterday. He thinks this is the best Carlton team he's ever seen. Just want to investigate that with Carlton supporters. Here's Gerald from yesterday.
I've seen a lot of great Carlton sides, but I reckon, you know, being a one-eyed Carlton supporter, this is the greatest Carlton side I've ever seen. Here go the Blue Baggers! Go on, boys!
Just a quick one, Carlton fans. We do have a few callers on the line. Gary Milton, I'm coming to you. If you're a Carlton fan, 1-300-736-736. The great debate for titanium caravans. Built tough to tackle Australia's harshest conditions. Make your next caravan a titanium. In the middle of Midday Madness, the second hour every day, we do have the great debate for titanium caravans. Is this the greatest Carlton team that you've ever seen? Because in 1970, when they won the flag, they had some pretty good names. Harms, Southby, Mackay, Klomp, Duhl, McConville, Jezelenko, Wayne Johnson, McClure, Fitzpatrick, Kenny Sheldon, Percy Jones, Jim Buckley, Rod Austin, Alex Marcoux. I mean, the 1979 Premiership team was one out of the box. So are they better than that right now, Blues fans? And while we're talking Carlton flags, I'll give you a couple of others that were pretty damn good as well. Carlton in 1995, pretty damn good team. Sexton, Silvani, Christo, Hogg, Peter Dean, Andrew McKay, Mil Hanna, Brett Ratton, Anthony Koutafidis, Earl Spalding, Greg Williams, Steve Kernahan, Justin Madden, Craig Bradley, Fraser Brown, Scott Camporelli, Glenn Matten, pretty good premiership team. Is this the greatest Carlton team ever, or is that a bit of recency bias? jump on the line, Carlton fans. We'll get you to air as part of the great debate for Titanium Caravans. Callum in Moorabbin. Welcome to you, Callum. I think you might have gone. Gary in Melton, you got a thought on North Melbourne. Gary, welcome to you.
Yeah, how are you, mate? Look,
good.
Shoes was just wasting his time, not manning up in the back pocket, picking up easy positions. He got Bailey Scott, top three best and fairest last year, on the wing, moved to the back pocket, a half-back flank. Look, all his attacking ball winners are playing behind the ball too far. I can't deliver him the 50.
Gary, hold the line. Got something for you. You've got a pink lemonade voucher for the next time you come up to Melbourne, around a Grey Goose Vodka to share with some friends. Play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. Clarko's got to make some changes. He waited too long last week to move Comben forward. Why he refused the temptation of putting Sheezel in the midfield last week, I'm not sure. Something's going on with Jai Simpkin. He's way out of form, your co-captain. Luke McDonald, your other co-captain's way out of form. Clarko has to make some changes. And the Sheezel change seems like such an obvious one. I'm not sure why he hasn't made it, but oh, he's got to make it, surely. Appreciate your call. Sal in Thomastown's on the line. Welcome to you, Sal.
Dwayne, I've seen some pretty good Carlton teams over the years, but this team is going to be special, mate. It's with the likes of Cripper and Walshy and Kerno and Wiedering, they're actually, and Big Harry, they're actually moulding into it. They're going to be a superstar team.
So it'll be better than the two teams that I've just read out that were premiership teams for you?
No, they're not, but they'll be up there highly rated, mate, highly rated. I've seen the 95, I've seen the 87 team and the 81, 82, but these guys are going to be superstars.
Good on you, Sal. Margaret in Sunbury. Well, this will be a definitive answer on it. Margaret, welcome to you. Your thoughts on Carlton? Great to have you, by the way.
Oh, that's nice to be on with you. Listen, Wayne, you named it. You hit the nail on the head. We've had some mighty teams over the years. I can go back a long way. In Mark McClure's day, what a great team that was. Fantastic, with Robbie Walls and they're just marvellous. And this team is a good team. Yes, they're on an equal, but they're not the best. They're equal. They're equal. And listen, I don't want them to kick North Melbourne. My niece never misses a game. She goes week in, week out to see them wherever she can. And my brother was an ardent North Melbourne supporter. So they'll pick themselves up and dust themselves down, and we hope they do. But
Margaret,
it's been lovely to talk to you and the listeners. Love to them all.
And great to have you, Margaret. Look, for you, is it your niece that goes to every North Melbourne game, did you say?
My niece goes everywhere. All the matches that she can go to, she goes at home. She goes to them all. Doesn't miss. Rain, hail, or snow, she'll go.
Got a grandmother ham for her, Margaret. I love those North Melbourne fans that are still going week in, week out. They had a good crowd there last week. That was part of the disappointment factor in that performance against Hawthorn. They turned out last week, the North fans. They didn't deserve that. We'll find a grandmother ham, thanks to Barclay Smokehouse, for your niece, Margaret. We'll get her details from you. Hold the line, and we'll look after that. Baz in Coburg, you there, Baz?
Yeah, good afternoon, Dwayne, mate. I'd say five of the players currently playing for Carlton would probably get a game in those two sides that you named. That'll be Walsh, Cripps, Kerno, Wiedering, and who was the other player? And Cripps.
So do you think 79 was better? I mean, you know, as I read out, Harm, Southby, Mackay, Klomp, Dool, McConville, Jezza was in there, Mark McClure, Mike Fitzpatrick was your first ruck, Kenny Sheldon, Percy Jones, Rod Austin, Alex Marcou were on the bench. The 72 team wasn't bad either. Southby, Mackay, Bruce Dool was in there, Robert Walls was centre-half forward, Sid Jackson, Big John Nichols, was the first ruck. Jezza was the ruck rover, and Percy Jones, I think, was in that side as well. There's been some good ones, Baz. I appreciate your call. In fact, Michael in Wooragee has jumped in to talk about the best of all time. Welcome to you, Michael.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you, mate? It's great to hear you again. As I said to you last year about the old Blue Boys and where we came from to where we ended up, everybody's just got to settle down. It's like there's a whole year to go through. You know, you can't be talking about the best team of all time, as in Carlton, for the Carlton supporters. And our history is massive with champion teams. You can't compare eras with eras. It just doesn't work. But seriously, we're on track. We're doing a great job. We've got a long way to go. And people bagging the Kangaroos and Hawks and whatever that they're going through, just think about what you did the Carlton last year and look how Carlton turned around. Any of these teams can do it. The Eagles, look at what they're doing now. Like, you start from the start and you end where you end. In between, there's going to be so many ups and downs. And for people to carry on like they do, it's just driving you crazy. But I love hearing Margaret before. She's the best supporter that Carlton's got. And it's awesome that she was on before me coming on, because I love listening to her talk. But seriously, Dwayne, the competition is in such a brilliant place. We have got so many champions in every team to watch. Every week we can watch. You can watch all nine games now, just about, and you see some brilliant things happening in every game. And I think people have got to just take a chill pill and just think about it for a minute. Every year, every team goes through ups and downs, and it doesn't mean that they're going to be down forever. You just got to give them a chance. And our Blue Boys will get there, whether we get there this year or next year, or maybe 10 years' time. You just don't bloody know until it happens. But it's brilliant. And I'm going up against your Cats this weekend, though, Dwayne. I give us a pretty good chance, because you guys are unbelievable. But I think we can push us right to the edge. But it's great calling from you. I think you're brilliant to listen to. And keep up the good work, son.
Thanks for your call, Michael, and thanks for the love. A couple of texts coming through. Yes to the last caller. Only about five of today's players would get a game in the 95 side. Dwayne, the current side is a great side, but they have to win a premiership first before they can be compared to the great sides of 79, 81, 87 and 95. Dwayne, I reckon you've left out one of the best for the Blues, the Dominator, Cam. I did mention the Dominator, but I appreciate your text just to make sure that he is on the top of the agenda. Dwayne, any suggestions that this Carlton side is better than 95? It's complete and utter nonsense. Go Cats, Justin from Warm Ponds. Callum in Moorabbin, thanks for holding. Callum, welcome to you.
Yeah, Dan, you there?
Yeah, sorry. You were off. We went to you before, but we couldn't find you. You're there now, so that's good.
I want to talk about two things. First of all, North Melbourne are going to get better. There's no doubt about that. I think the North fans just need to stick with them. We had 30,000 people at the ground for Hawthorn's Twilight game, with our home game. And St Kilda had 27,000 at the Thursday night game against the Bulldogs. So I don't know what that says, but you can read into that if you want. Secondly, what's your take on pushing the back in the moment? Because I just think that pushing the back should just be pushing the back, no matter what.
Yeah, I'm happy for pushing the back to be paid, Callum. But I think the hands on the back rule has confused everybody, because the AFL brought in the hands in the back rule and then they got rid of the hands in the back rule. So it confused people when they brought it in, and now people are still confused thinking it's still there.
Well, yeah, like a player can just be behind his man and just extend his arms and people in the camp are going, well, that was a push in the back, wasn't it? And the umpire is going, nah, that's just good footing there. And the other player will do the same thing and it'll just be a paid push in the back.
Yeah, appreciate your call, Callum. I don't know if you're Jared Healy putting on a voice. I presume you're not, but I've been hearing this from Jared Healy for a number of years. The consistency is something we talk about a lot with umpires, but yeah, the push in the back is still a push in the back. You're spot on. Your first point was right. Raf in Meadow Heights, Michael in Templestowe, Steve will come to you as well in East Ringwood, Steve in Port Arlington, so a couple of Steves will get to you all. It is Midday Madness.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Oh, let's not waste any time. Straight back to your calls and your texts. Still got a full board of calls. So 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. The Midday Madness promises you call, you get on. We'll get you all on. Starting with you very shortly, Raf, Steve and Paul. And then we'll take a quick break for news and get to our other callers. A couple of texts that have come through just on the Carlton side of things. The old boys would beat up on the current day Carlton crew. They played when football was a contact sport. Modbury Mac, thank you, Modbury Mac. Another one here. Hi, Dwayne. I'm a Hawk, but the only Carlton players in the current team that would get a look in at the best Carlton teams of all time are Cripps, definitely. Then under consideration until they win a flag of Walsh, Kerno and Wietering. The rest are average, carried by these four. Lots of texts coming through on this. Dwayne, I must have missed the premiership this current Carlton side has won. Until they win one, they are not in the ballpark compared to Carlton premiership teams of the past. And another one here, and this happens quite a bit, people who tune in late don't listen to the whole show, and I don't expect you to listen to the whole show. That's the last thing I expect. But some people tune in late and think I've started this discussion. You're not bad, Pipe. The Blues are playing your old team this week, so you're pumping them up. This team, as good as their 95 or 70s or 80s, please, Pipe, you're embarrassing yourself. They're nowhere near it. Thanks for your text, but I didn't start this. This was off the back of a caller saying this is the best Carlton team he's ever seen. So I didn't start this fire. I'm just watching it burn. Raf, Embedo, hi. Talking to you, Raf.
Dwayne, how you going, buddy?
Good, thanks.
I don't blame you, Dwayne. Can't compare this side to the 95 side. I mean, Greg Williams, Silvani, all the fullback of the century. Greg Williams, I'm pretty sure, made it. And you're forgetting Justin Madden, especially that goal against Adelaide against Sean Wren, which I still reckon was the greatest finals goal ever kicked. Do you love him rocking through the centre?
Yeah, Raf, I tell you, there's a number of players that I read out those names of the teams gone by where when you see them, you feel like you're in the presence of royalty. I run into a few of them every now and then. I ran into Cooter a couple of months ago, and I felt like I was walking up to speak to the, you know, the Prime Minister of Australia. That's how I feel when I'm talking to some of these guys, Raf. So, yeah, they're royalty, these Carlton guys that have won flags in years gone by. And I think every sort of fan base believes that when they see their premiership players walk past. Stephen East Ringwood, you there, Steve?
G'day, Pipe. I reckon the best team for a single season would be 1995, just for one season only, whereas a dynasty would be the 79, 81, 82 sort of era.
Yeah, so, and do you think that this team's got the capability, though, Steve? Because you're probably going to have to win two flags, this current team, to be in comparison to some of those great eras then, Steve.
I think they're very capable. Like a few of the other calls, I think our top is very good. Probably say the top five or six are all very much superstars, can win the game. And then I think the other area of growth for us this year has been that they've actually got a lot more on-field leadership, which we've probably lacked over the last sort of 10, 15 years, where in-game they don't actually rely on the runner running out or the coach changing the circumstances. They can actually make some adjustments themselves. So I think that's why they are actually a real chance of winning it in the next sort of 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's a good call, Steve, because the essence of this is when you've got a good team like this, you do have to make sure you win one, because you don't want to be like, I shouldn't mention Port Adelaide, but you don't want to be like Port Adelaide. You're at the top end for a number of years, but you just can't win the flag. And you wonder whether the whole era is going to slip away without you winning one. And Port Adelaide have to win one now while they've got these guys they've got now. Brisbane's in the same boat. I mean, their time's slipping away. They've probably got another couple of years with this bunch, but you've got to win one now. I admire the fact that Melbourne's won one. We all talk about, oh, well, they should win two with this team they've got. Well, at least they've won one. The Dogs, hey, at least they've won one. So that's where Carlton's at right now. And there's going to be some teams that get better. I mean, there's a few on the text telling me Collingwood's going to be better when they get Harley Reid. You know, very funny stuff comes through on the text, by the way. But, you know, Collingwood's not going away just yet. I think they've still got themselves in the firing line this year. So, you know, Carlton, Brisbane, the Giants, they're all in the running, but Collingwood could win it again. Paul in Gladstone Park, welcome to you, Paul. Thanks for holding so long.
G'day, Dwayne. How you going?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, look, you know, I'm a mad North fan member. You know, take my six-year-old son to the footy, most home games and that. And, you know, obviously I was disappointed, as, you know, any North fan was on the weekend. Actually, on the train ride home, I reckon I've kind of felt sick in the stomach probably for the first time. Was almost tempted to let my boy go for another team. But, you know, a couple of days later, you know, come round and look, you've got to take a step back. And, you know, you've got to realise that, you know, for such a long time, we basically finished, you know, 6th to 12th on the ladder for such a long time. And, you know, from 2020, you know, all right, we've had 17, 18, 18, 17. But, you know, those coaches there, that was Reece Shaw, David Noble, Ratten. We've got to look at it and say this is Clarkson's first year of a rebuild. Like, he really wasn't around last year due to the, you know, due to the circumstances and stuff. So I don't really buy into all these people jumping on Clarkson's back. I'm not really a fan of that. I think we've also got to remember that, you know, with regards to the recruiting, you know, we had this concept where we wanted to build from the midfield out. And, you know, so obviously you look at it now, you know, we are missing, you know, key position forwards and backs. And that's basically where we're at. So, you know, that's, we know that we need that, and we need to improve in that area. The other thing is, you know, you've got to look at teams like Carlton, Brisbane, Hawthorne, Richmond, Brisbane. They've all gone through the same thing. So what I want is, I'd love just to see North fans stay tough, stick it tough, just exactly like what we want our blokes on the field to do. And let's keep turning up. And, you know, it will change. You know, it might take a bit of time, but this is the first year of a rebuild. People can't say, oh, we've had 4 years of it. It's his first year in charge. So I think that's all we've got to keep in mind.
Appreciate your call, Paul, trying to put that into perspective. I think the hard part this week is just the fact that the second worst team in the competition, you know, smashed North this weekend, just gone, with a whole heap of North Melbourne fans who, you know, made the effort to go and make it a good crowd. So I can understand why they're bleeding this week. But you're right, long term, you've got to give Clarko the year and then, you know, assess it at the end of the year. But there's got to be a couple of wins coming somewhere. You can't go winless for the year. And, well, Hobart, Adelaide Crows, I'm doing that game, so can't wait to see what happens. Dwayne, just on Carlton before we take a break for news. The greatest side of all time just lost to winless Crows at home, who are bottom 14. Josh from Adelaide, thanks for that, Josh, just to rub that one in. Keep your calls and texts coming. You with Dwayne's World. That open line brought to us by Werribee Gear, by the way. 1-300-736-736. Werribee Gear, always making buying cars easy. Another big half an hour still to come for Midday Madness.
Buddy Bet Tipping, your new Thursday night ritual. Available on the Buddy Bet app. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
A few people on the text asking me who I've tipped. So for Buddy Bet, here's my tips for the coming round. I've gone for Melbourne tonight, Collingwood tomorrow. I was pretty impressed with Collingwood last week, but yeah, they could get a scare tomorrow, and I can't wait to be there for AFL Nation. I've gone for the Giants in Canberra. They don't have Sam Taylor, but they've got something going on at the moment, the Giants, and Brisbane haven't quite got it going on. So I've tipped the Giants in their home game in Canberra. Port Adelaide to beat the Saints. I think Adelaide will beat North Melbourne, even though that game's in Hobart. It's a tricky situation playing a game in Hobart against North, as the Gold Coast found out round 24 last year. Adelaide, yeah, I think to win that one. Geelong, now, I've got this default, so let's just own up here. I've got this algorithm system where one of my rules is always tip Geelong in home games. So when Mitch puts all my tips in, he has to stick to the parameters that I've got, and one of them is always tip Geelong in home games. So guess what? It's a Geelong home game, so I'm tipping Geelong, even though I'd probably tip Carlton if I was doing it today. Bulldogs to win is what I've tipped. Gold Coast to win as well. I think they'll bounce back. And Sydney to win against the Hawks at the MCG. That's my tips for Buddy Bet. Buddy Bet tipping, your new Thursday night ritual, available on the Buddy Bet app. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Couple of texts. Bulldogs are number 5 on the pressure meter. They are 0-5 following a 50-point win the previous week. That, I'd say the Bulldogs supporters will have Bevo's head on the chopping block if they lose. I don't think on the chopping block, but I get what you're saying. They need to keep it rolling. Dwayne, would a mid-season trade period June 23 to 30 make the season even better or worse? Matt, well, it depends on whether you trade well or trade badly, and depends on who you get. Now, let's throw Cam Zerha up for debate. If Cam Zerha was thinking of leaving, and North knew that he wasn't going to sign and he was thinking of leaving, what could North get for Cam Zerha now from a team that is middle on the ladder, that wants to win the flag, but no, they quite don't have enough in their forward line? So I think a mid-season trade period will be great, but it might not be great for everybody. It's just going to be great for those who get it right. But your thoughts on that? 1-300-736-736, given we've had a texter on it. Massive game for the Pies tomorrow. Dwayne, just feel the Pies will be backing up the win from last week and thumping the Bombers. Brent from Dandenong, thank you. One here on the Pies and a bit of love. G'day, Pipe. Just rewatched the Pies game from the weekend this morning and absolutely loved your call of the game. Thanks for that, Aaron from Wallen. Appreciate your love. And quite a few coming through talking about some other bits and pieces that I've done. I'm not going to read them all out because it's a bit self-indulgent, but I appreciate your nice texts when they come through. One here, I was at Port training. Aaliyah went off with an ankle injury. Thanks for that update. We had an update yesterday late that Lance Franklin would be at the Hawthorn-Sydney game, and that proved to be correct. The AFL send the draw to Canada, Dwayne, to get it done. So the algorithm on the AFL draw with all the parameters, it's sent to Canada to get that done. Anton in Bendigo wants to talk to the Bombers. What can you do, Anton?
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. How you going, mate?
Good.
Just want to compare Essendon's rights collision and Toby Green's, and Essendon not challenging the suspension on Wright. When Wright, when he had his collision with the player,
the player was actually facing right in the collision, went back and hit his head on the ground, which is what would have caused the concussion and not the actual impact.
So you think they should have challenged it, Essendon, to have another go at it, Anton?
Yeah, definitely. They should have challenged it. And, you know, you look at, you know, Hogan's punch on the player on the weekend comparing Mason Redmond's jumper punch. There could have been a lot more damage done with Hogan's punch compared to Mason Redmond's.
Yeah, it's two different situations as well, the punch and whether it slipped and what your intention was. But to me, I think it's clear now. If you brace for contact in a marking contest, if you jump into a marking contest with your intention to mark and then in the middle of your jump, you decide, no, I'm going to brace for contact to protect myself here, you're going to be liable if you get a guy on the head. And I like that. That's good. Keep going for the ball. That's the out. Hey, if you've gone into the marking contest with intention at the ball, then keep your intention 100% at the ball. Forget about protecting yourself. I know that's hard to do because the flinch reaction is something people have talked about a lot, but just keep going for the ball. And Essendon, you know, did take it to the tribunal, by the way. So they did challenge it. They just didn't challenge the tribunal challenge. Thanks for your call. The Mighty Blues, best premiership side ever, was 72 when the Blues kicked 28 goals, 9, 177 to Richmond, 22-18, 150. With the Blues' best ever player, Bruce Dool. Tim in Berwick, go Blues. And we've had a lot of Blues texters come through. Back with plenty more. All the way up to 2 o'clock for more Midday Madness. And then on the Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu after 2, Sammy Edmund with the latest news, including the West Coast Eagles at the tribunal at the moment.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always fun to have your company for Midday Madness and for Dwayne's World. It's been another massive couple of hours, but we should be able to keep the Midday Madness promise today. We'll get all of your calls to air before 2 o'clock. Debbie and Pakenham, I'm coming to you. We do have a couple of lines full free now if you want to jump on. 1-300-736-736, and we will get you on before 2 o'clock, as is the Midday Madness promise. That open line, 1-300-736-736, brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia, always making buying cars easy. And you can drop down and see David, Janan, Aid, Jim, the whole team at Werribee Kia. They would love to see you. A couple of texts. Please, Dwayne, can we stop the whinging with the draw? That St Kilda supporter should understand his club has asked for certain games in certain slots, which creates revenue for his club. There needs to be a compromise. And if he isn't happy about his team's draw, I suggest he call his football club. Cheers, Bucky. Well, that's Mark on the Limestone Coast as a regular. I like the fact that he calls. And to be honest, he doesn't mind holding. Sometimes he holds for 45 minutes to an hour. So if you're prepared to do that, I'm prepared to get you on. Another one here. Pipe, do you think the Gold Coast are escaping some heat with their beltings away from home? I feel like these sorts of losses should be stopping. You know what? I was seriously considering putting the Suns in at 5 on the pressure meter. I mean, lose at home to the West Coast, and this suspicion that this is the same old Suns will be growing big time. So they are very easily put into the top 5, the Suns, this week behind. If you haven't heard my top 5, Brisbane, Port, Adelaide and Fremantle are the top 4. Debbie in Pakenham, you want to talk John Noble. Welcome to you, Debbie. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Dwayne. Great to be back. I've been in the country for a couple of years and I haven't been able to listen to SEN that much unless I've been out of town. So I'm wrapped and I'm wanting to give a shout out to Johnny Noble, because I reckon since he's come back into the side, I reckon he's been great. And, you know, after the disappointment of the finals and then the grand final last year, what a player. I mean, really, he's been great.
Yeah, players like that, like Holmes at Geelong, those who miss out on flags but stick around to prove to be great team players, Debbie, they are worth gold, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. He's just... Look, he's just, he gives so much. He's just an old-fashioned player. He just gets in and gets the ball, and I love watching him. I love it.
Hey, good call, Debbie. Great to have you on. Hold the line. We've got something for you. You've got, if you can't play, then someone will definitely take the opportunity to have 18 holes of golf for you with a friend down at Club Mandalay. Get 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99. Visit clubmandalay.com.au. Drinks a cart midweek for just $99. And your Max Home signed for an extended period, 4 more years at the Cats. If you didn't hear, they did secure Max Holmes in the last 24 hours. James and Baronia, welcome to you, James.
G'day, Dwayne. Just in relation to the Toby Green incident with the guy running back recklessly with the flight, in the future, why aren't players like Toby Green just going to run at the ball, go for their mark, get their knee up, flatten the bloke straight down the middle? They won't run back with the flight again, and they're not going to get pinged at the tribunal for 2 or 3 weeks for a bump. And the action is going to cause more damage, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, just get your knee up and protect yourself, and you don't have to bump anyone, and it's going to cause twice as much damage, and you're not going to go to the tribunal.
Yeah, in theory, it's going to cause twice as much damage, but it actually might not, James. There's been people jumping at shadows with this one left, right and centre, and I think it is a shadow he's jumping at. I don't think players want to hurt players anymore. I think they want to win the ball. And that's the bottom line. Go for the ball, Toby. Don't brace for contact middle of the air. And if you're running back with a flight, go for the ball. And the rules of the game will protect you. But if you do get contact, it's in the way of winning the ball that you'll get contact. No one's going to run through you deliberately anymore. And if you're running back with a flight, you've got the freedom to do it, knowing that the bloke who's coming at you is also going to attempt a mark, as opposed to bracing for contact, turning his hip into your head and knocking you out that way. And I think it's a fair way of having the game played, James. So I'm not jumping at that shadow. Oh, people are going to put their knees up in marking contests and they're going to knock people out and the game's going to be worse. There'll be worse injuries. No, not me. That's the shadow I ain't jumping at. Milo, Tony, Mark, we'll get to you all, as is the Midday Madness promise, in rapid fire straight after the break.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Midday Madness, rapid fire. The lines are full again, so you'll have to be quick to get yourself on before 2 o'clock. So, Milo, we'll start with you. Milo in Mount Gambier.
Yeah, how are you, Dwayne? Just a thought, just a question. Watching a lot of footy, are we ready for an NFL-type hang-time punt to let the players get back in position? Will we see that come into the game?
If players can learn to kick a torp again, Milo, I reckon yes. But unfortunately, they don't practice the torp enough. Tony in East Melbourne. Welcome to you, Tony.
Hey, Dwayne. In this guy's garage, putting a hot water unit in, listening to all this North Melbourne stuff. All we want against Adelaide and Tassie is just a red hot go. And that's all we want. And we'll get the development throughout the year.
Great to have you call, Tony, and I'm hoping for a red-hot go as well, because it didn't look like a red-hot go last week. It looked like a warm, kind of soft and lovely go. Mark in Bentley, you there, Mark?
Yeah, hi, mate. Just a quick shout-out to the MCC. Apart from hosting what's become a pretty much a sacred day at the G tomorrow, I can tell you, as a vet, Dwayne, you feel like you're in a warm space, and on top of that, I'm not sure if many people know, but I'm a member of a small group at the MCC, the Veterans Group. And they actually make available free tickets for a few veterans on the day. So it's a great effort and a real acknowledgement of what it's all about.
Mark, we've got one more minute. Can I please ask you to explain to me how the veterans feel with football, whether it has made more young people, do you think, take notice of the sacrifice that many have made over decades and decades gone by?
Well, I'm a member of the NCC Military Veterans Group. We have a quarterly lunch there every in the members' dining room. And I'm 67, but there's a lot of younger guys, Afghanistan, Iraq, those sort of guys there. And also people there and... there's something about Anzac Day which I think gets into the very core of the Australian character, and I see it everywhere, but it's definitely present and front and centre at the MCG tomorrow.
Great to have your call, Mark. Really appreciate you holding on and giving us that message. We've got a Dwayne's World T-shirt coming your way. Plenty still to come. Sammy Edmonds going to join us. Jake from Wandon North, I know you're on the line. We might actually give you more than 15 seconds for rapid fire. Sammy Edmonds going to join us for rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts with the latest news. So stick around for that. Frank Panisi from the Melbourne Storm, the general manager of football, and Lucas Herbert, Bendigo boy Lucas Herbert, is lining up for the LIV Golf in Adelaide at Grange.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Another big hour of Dwayne's World still to come, so plenty still to come on the Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu. Ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. Frank Panisi, Melbourne Storm General Manager of Football, to join me a little later this hour. Sammy Edmund joining me right now, SEN Chief Reporter for rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. He was with us when the texter broke the news about Lance Franklin being at the G for the Sydney Hawthorn game, which was nice to hear yesterday. Welcome to you, Sammy. Great to have you back.
You got to love the SEN family, don't you, Dwayne? They were all over it when that text dropped. They knew before anyone else. So always great to have their text coming through on the 40 Wings temper.
Plenty of news to get to as well. And the tribunal is active at the moment. Tom Barras is up.
Absolutely extraordinary at the moment, Dwayne. We were waiting to see how long it would take for Pandora's box to well and truly open in the wake of Charlie Cameron's good character finding, and Tom Barras has played the card, and haven't they played in the tribunal at the moment, looking to overturn a one-match ban for a dangerous tackle on Michael Walters. David Grace is representing the Eagles, and he has laid it on thick. So they've come with all sorts of evidence here to prove to the tribunal, Dwayne, that Tom Barras is one of the finest citizens in the country. He's an engaged man. He's got a couple of kids. He's got philanthropic interests. He's got character references from Jerry McGovern, the former West Coast chairman, Russell Gibbs, as well. He's made many food bank donations. He visits the kids in the hospital over there. He's been involved in Movember as well. He's a staunch advocate against domestic violence and violence against women. He's been an ambassador for White Ribbon Australia, the 16 Days in WA campaign. It goes on and on and on. And look, as we said at the time, Dwayne, you're duty-bound to do this. If you meet the criteria, and further this, I think Tom Barras's tribunal record is virtually non-existent, maybe fined once, not suspended to the best of my knowledge. So he's perhaps more qualified than Charlie Cameron to escape a one-match ban for a dangerous tackle, because on top of all of that, Michael Walters obviously played out the game. They've been showed multiple angles and replays of Michael Walters playing out the game without any sort of discomfort at all. So they're looking to get it down from medium to low, the West Coast, and they're playing the trump card, Dwayne, the good guy character reference.
Any chance you'll get a free game to use at some other stage, the way he's going, to get one in his camp? Well, Chris Scott was hammered by people on the text saying, oh, yeah, good on you, Chris Scott. You say that the Cats are going to use it. Well, you're right about the Pandora's box. Do you think the AFL is now going to have to close this loophole? Because this is going to happen every week. And if you're on the text machine, please text through. Can you list me the top five references in the world right now you could get to help you out? The top five references to help you at the tribunal are 0433 98 11 16, because it does look like you're going to go to your reference bundle of friends. Who's in your contacts list on your phone? I'm looking forward to this one. So when are we going to find out whether he gets off in the next half hour?
Yeah, I would have thought so, Dwayne. Who knows how long they're going to deliberate for. They haven't broken for that yet. I'm just following in real time here. I suppose we're being a little bit mischievous with it, aren't we? But they are trying it on. I mean, the only difference is, I suppose, that Tom Barras, as good as he's been for as long as he's been, has played 138 games. So the criteria going back to Charlie Cameron in that argument was more than 200 games, never suspended. So this is 138 games, and as I say, to the best of my knowledge, never suspended. But gee whiz, you can't knock the amount of community work that Tom Barras is doing, and his tribunal record is clean, so they've got to try it on. And the player himself, as we saw last night with the GWS boys, I reckon when the player themselves gives evidence, Dwayne, it can't harm the case. It can only help the case. And Tom Barras is speaking really transparently here, so we'll see how it plays out.
So Ross Lyon spoke today, and he got a bit emotional, I understand. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about this.
Now, this is in the wake of Harley Ballack's father coming out in the Herald Sun. That's Eddie Ballack, and basically blaming the AFL's highly contentious and debatable and controversial illicit drugs policy and the secrecy around it, Dwayne, for, well, essentially blaming it for the death of his son, Harley, that it was too secretive, not enough people knew, the family didn't know, we couldn't help. If we had have known, we could have potentially saved him. Ross Lyon didn't cast judgment, as you're about to hear, on the policy itself, but he spoke as the former coach of the Fremantle Dockers, and as you're about to hear, the relationship he had with the late Harley Ballack.
Yeah, I was Fremantle coach at the time, and I think the Ballack family will tell you, in particular his mum, I was very close to Harley, had a personal relationship, spent a lot of time one-on-one with Harley, so I understand it deeply. But it's not for me to dive into it. what I will say is, I'm not even sure what I'll say. So I think if the AFL illicit policy is really about that medical model, my experience and what Harley shared with me, he clearly sat in where he needed support and medical attention. And because I've got no visibility on really what occurs behind the scene, but you just make the judgment that occurred. So, look, who wants to lose a son, a daughter? It's very emotional even talking about him. So I think I'll leave it there, and he's a pretty special young man.
So that's the audio, Dwayne. The vision perhaps does it justice in terms of just how emotional he became, Ross Lyon. So that story's in the Herald Sun today, of course. And the illicit drugs policy, the review's in on that, Dwayne, too, by the way. An external party conducted that one finally. This is some 4 or 5 years in the making. Goes all the way back to 2019. Stalled multiple times. COVID interrupted it and all the rest of it. It's finally been completed. It's in the hands of the AFL. So now the AFL, the AFL Players Association, they'll start a process that now where they seek to, I suppose, negotiate what a new policy looks like, because everyone agrees changes need to be made, Dwayne, but how do they strike the balance between a medical and a welfare model like they've been consistently advocating for, and the pressure that's being applied to them to be more punitive? It'll be really interesting to see where they settle with it.
Yep, we'll watch that space. Hey, there's a Nottingham Forest story we spoke to the voice of the World Game yesterday about it. What's the latest with their outcry, if you like?
Yeah, well, we're still waiting on the Premier League here, who did respond a few hours later than that, saying they were extremely disappointed by the nature of Nottingham Forest's post-match statement, which I'm sure people are aware of. If they're not, they basically accused the video assistant referee Stuart Atwell as being a fan of another club, that being Luton Town, are also battling with Nottingham Forest to avoid relegation, and Nottingham Forest suggesting that the three penalties that should have been in their mind awarded in the game were overlooked by Stuart because he supports another club. So extraordinary allegation, right to the heart of the integrity of the competition. So the FA, the Football Association, investigating that as well. And it's up to Dwayne. I've just got it down here to mention the post-match tweet of frustration from Nottingham Forest, now just ticking up to 44 million views, if you don't mind.
Hey, before I let you go, selection news, anything coming through there? I think Luke Beveridge has addressed Jamara.
Yeah, Jamara trained today. He was at the club today. Has he done enough? Because if you listen to Luke Beveridge here, maybe not. Let's have a listen to Bevo. Obviously, Jamara returning from personal leave. He missed last week, training today for the first time this week. They've got to go interstate to take on Fremantle. He's the coach of the Western Bulldogs on Luke Beveridge.
Oh, it's unlikely to play this week. We make sure he's okay, Theo, and processing a few things. He's on a personal level and us supporting him, so we might not play this week at all. So I can't really give you much more than that. He's back in today for the first sort of full day. He will train and get him going again.
Is he coping all right?
Oh, I mean, I suppose when any player just takes a little bit of time out of the game, that's a difficult question to answer. So I can't really tell you exactly how he is. And I suppose, in the game, in the pressures of it, every player at every club across the land is always dealing with something, as far as the external scrutiny and the internal expectations. And Amara's no different. And as he's had some relations pass in recent times too, so he's had that grieving in the mourning aspect of his life that sort of compounded things for him. So we'll just look after him and hopefully he can play some footy again soon, but that's not the priority at the moment.
So you listen to that, Dwayne, you'd say he's not going to play, but who knows? We wait official confirmation. Tom Liberatore good to go out of the concussion protocols, but he did say, Bevo, that Caleb Daniel was set to miss again. So subbed off in round five and hasn't been seen since.
Plenty of suggestions coming through. Helping ladies across the street is now saving kittens from trees is going to help you. References from Taylor Swift. For Harley Reid. So they're coming through thick and fast as to what you need on your resume these days, and I'm enjoying reading them. Hey, anything to leave us with before you go?
John Longmire said Luke Parker available for selection this week. He's finally overcome that break in the arm. It was expected to keep him out for a month, but it's obviously ended up being a fair bit longer than that. Dwayne, got some more convincing to do up there. It sounds like AFL level might be a stretch. Looks like he might be returning via the VFL again. We await confirmation of that. And it's the 100th game this week for James Rowbottom, the AFL's tackle king, officially, Dwayne, thus far in 2024.
Always good to have you, Sammy. Always great to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. Sammy Edmund, SEN Chief Reporter for rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts. And keep your text coming through, 0433 98 11 16 on the 40 Winks. Temper text, 0433 98 11 16. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is Temper. Sammy will be back Friday for RJ Sanderson and Associates, accountants and taxation specialists. Take the stress out of tax. Frank Panisi next.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Going to be huge at Amy Park tomorrow night. The Melbourne Storm host the South Sydney Rabbitohs in their Anzac Night clash tomorrow night. So, huge night on the NRL calendar. And you can still get tickets from tickertech.com.au. So if you want to jump on board, tickertech.com.au for your tickets. It's always a big day around Australia. It's always a big day sporting-wise in Melbourne, as well as part of celebrating Anzac Day and celebrating all those that have sacrificed for us. And Frank Panisi, Melbourne Storm General Manager of Football, has been good enough to join me for a few minutes. Frank, welcome to you. Great to have you on.
Great to be on, Dwayne. And as you said, this is my favourite home and away game of the year. So we look forward to every year. And yeah, we're very excited and feel very privileged to be able to play once again on Anzac Day.
And normally your fans come out too. They enjoy it as well. In fact, you get some doing the double, the AFL Rugby League double.
Yeah, it's each year. This is our biggest game of the year outside of finals in terms of crowd. It's you're right. It's great looking around the stadium, and as well as all the purple jumpers around. You see the Collingwood jerseys out there and Essendon, and yeah, it adds to the whole day. And I think, you know, hopefully it continues tomorrow. If, you know, tickets are selling really well, and we're expecting a sold out game. So yeah, I encourage everyone to get along, and encourage your members to get along in their seats as well. It'd be great to not just have a sold out, but also a full house as well, which I've no doubt we can do.
Yeah, jump on board. Hey, Dale Finucane is an ex of yours. He's had to retire this week due to concussion issues. It's something that is pretty big in your sport and at your club, as well as in every sport around Australia, around the world right now.
Yeah, it is. We've seen a couple in the AFL already retire, Dwayne, as you said. And yeah, he's a very high profile player in our game, probably the most high profile that I can remember for quite a while. You know, we've had a few like the AFL, but yeah, he's been, you know, still at his, whilst he's at the back end of his career, he still had plenty to offer. But look, he's been an absolutely wonderful player, you know, for the game of rugby league. He started at the Bulldogs, and then he had 7 incredible years here where he played in, you know, numerous grand finals and premierships and minor premierships. And he was just a fearless competitor. I've never seen a player prepare more professionally, more diligently than Dale did. But I thought it was last year he did it. You know, he called myself and Craig over the weekend, and close friends and close people that's been involved in. But yeah, don't expect any less. But you know, it is the right decision for Dale, and we support him with that decision.
Speaking of players, Jerome Hughes has been in the press with you. I'm sure you read it all. How do you respond to it all? Do you ask the players questions? How do you go about that?
Yeah, look, I think Jerome's embarrassed about the whole thing, to be brutally honest with you. I think he came out pretty well the other day and he knocked it on the head. And, you know, he's a big part of our football club. He's very happy in Melbourne. He's also been here for now since 2017. He'd only played 2 NRL games before he got to the Storm, and he's played the rest here and had a lot of success. 2020 premiership player, one of our vice captains, and a really important player who's still contracted for a couple more years, and you know, he's keen to even extend that. So yeah, no, it's just a bit of rugby league muck and gossip, and which keeps the, you know, the clickbait going, I suppose. Right.
On the pitch then, on the field, what's the changes for tomorrow? Have you got many?
No, we go in with a very settled team. First probably time this year that we've gone back-to-back with the same 17, and everyone that is available. And we've had a good week, had a really tough win against the Roosters last week. And a bit like our other wins this year, Dwayne, we still haven't played our absolute best, but we're grinding out wins. We're certainly defending extremely well, but our attack at times can be a bit clunky, and that's an area to work on. But, you know, as we said, at this stage of the year, it's important just to chalk off those wins, and especially against the quality of the oppositions we've been doing it against. That's probably been the most pleasing part. So this time we're playing a team that started the season, you know, with high expectations, a great roster, and a big club in South Sydney. They haven't had the best of seasons. They had the bye last weekend, so they come refreshed and needing to really turn around their season and kickstart their season. So we're expecting a tough game. It's their first Anzac Day game, so they'll be up for that as well. So we're expecting another tough game come tomorrow night.
You normally play the New Zealand Warriors in this game, though, don't you?
We do, yeah, for the last 15 years. We had 1 year we played Manly because the centenary of the Anzac in 2015, the Warriors were granted a home match for their game and we played Manly. But all the other games in our 15-year history of playing on the Anzac Day have been against the Warriors. And it's going to feel a bit strange not playing against the Warriors, but we understand their decision, wanting their own home game on Anzac Day. They play the Titans at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Auckland, so we understand that. But in one way, it's one when we did play the Warriors, Dwayne, one thing about it, a lot more Warriors fans than any other opposition fans would play in Melbourne. There's a lot of ex-Kiwis living in Melbourne, and they all come out once a year, usually on this day. But so we're expecting our Anzac Day crowd of being all purple. That's a little bit because Warriors supporters are a bit different. But all the same, whilst it'll be different to play the Warriors, really excited to play a big club like South Sydney Rabbitohs, and should be a great night.
And one on the text here, it kickoffs at 7:50, but and it's probably not a question for you given you're in charge of footy, but do you know what time the ceremonies will start?
Well, you got me there. I'll say 7:45, but I wouldn't go on my words. I'd probably ask everyone to be there at least in their seats by 7:30. Look, it's the pre-game ceremony that the club's put on now for a number of years, but especially the last few years with the blackout, it's one of the best I've seen, certainly in the NRL. I know on tonight's game at the G, they do something similar, but it just adds to the whole day. You know, it's just after you know the morning service, and then you've got the ceremonies, and you've got the afternoon watching the AFL. It's just a fantastic way to finish Anzac Day, and it's the pre-game ceremony. It's worth itself just coming for that. But hopefully after that, they'll also see a great game of rugby league one.
Frank, great to have you on. Let's hope you get a massive crowd. Get along, support the Storm, and we'll talk to you next week, Frank.
Thanks very much, mate. We're looking forward to it, Dwayne.
Frank Panisi, Melbourne Storm General Manager of Football, a game tomorrow night. They should win, given where South Sydney is on the ladder. A couple of texts before we work our way to news and then a little bit of Lost in the Wash. Still to come, by the way, Lucas Herbert, who's going to have a chat to us, is about to tee off for a practice round at Grange as part of those playing in Adelaide with Liv coming to town. But a couple of texts. Collingwood haven't lost a game since Johnny Noble came back into the squad this season. Great call from Debbie, and I wanted to give that a read because there's a lot of John Noble fans out there that came through on the text. Others suggesting there should be references written by Greta Thunberg. Thanks for that. Make sure you donate blood. Put that on your resume as well. Recycle your waste as well. I appreciate those texts. That's from Lockie as well. And Dwayne, have you tried kicking a torpedo with these new balls? It's not as easy as it was with the old footy that was kicked in and rounder, Brett in Bunyip, and there's something I haven't done. I haven't tried to kick one of the new balls for a torp. And one here, Dwayne, not even the Frankston Dolphins would take Cam Zerha at the moment. I reckon there'd be a lot of takers for Cam Zerha if there was a mid-season trade period this year and if North knew that Cam Zerha was departing. We'll take a break. Lost in the Wash coming up straight after the break. And Lucas Herbert, been great to have so many of your calls and texts coming through, but we're not done yet. Stick around. You're with Dwayne's World. Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Lost in the Wash for Schauser Dog Washers. Install a Schauser into your footy club and start fundraising today. Schauser.com.au. If you've got a Lost in the Wash, jump on the line now and we'll get you on. Should have got to it by now, but haven't got to it yet. 1-300-736-736, that open line number, which is brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia always making buying cars easy. One here on the text that I don't want to get lost in the wash, just in response to Frank Panisi and our chats about what's happening tomorrow and the vet that was on the line a little earlier. Pipe, I'm a young Afghan vet for myself and all my contemporaries. Anzac Day is a somber affair in the morning for dawn service and then a great celebration with many catch-ups and stories swapped the rest of the day. The footy being on is great glue between the two. Long may it continue. Thanks for that text. I appreciate you sending that through. Carl in Roxburgh Park wants to talk Mason Cox. Welcome to you, Carl. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. Just a quick one on Mason Cox's glove. I'm hearing that he's wearing it for injury purposes, but what kind of injury does he have? And I'm just a bit curious to know as to, like back in the day, Cloak wore a glove, and it was called a form of cheating. But I just want to know, like, what is he actually wearing it? And I've got a sense that he's actually wearing it because he actually feels better marking the footy with it. Because the glove
you're allowed to wear them
in golf, like it.
Yeah. You are allowed to wear gloves, Carl, even if you're not injured. So that's your right as a player. You are allowed to wear gloves. But there are some gloves that are banned. You can't use the American NFL gloves that are virtually, you know, like Spider-Man gloves, the sticky. You can't use those. The gloves that you wear have to be approved by the AFL. So Mason Cox's glove has to be approved by the AFL. And injury or no injury, he's allowed to wear one if he thinks it helps him mark a little easier. So thanks to for your call on that. Has been sent through on text a couple of times about Mason's glove. Hey, Ray, on the road, you'll have to be quick, Ray, because Lucas Herbert is on the line right now to talk Live Golf. Thanks for jumping on, though.
No worries. Thanks for the opportunity. Real quick, shout out to Darren Weir, who's just done 5 years suspension in training for indiscretions, and now the VRC are trying to run him through and see if they can suspend him again. I feel sorry for him. He's like the Toby Green in racing. Thanks for your help.
Thanks for that. Appreciate your call as well. You did call earlier. We couldn't quite squeeze you in, but has been a big talking point today. One here on marking as well, which has been a massive talking point. Marking defines Aussie rules and makes it spectacular, and it should be protected, especially under concussion times. Ant, and I agree with you on that. In the NBA playoffs for Tyre Power, Tyre Power here to help you stay safe on the road. There's been a bit of action today, so let me just repeat what has happened today. And for those joining us for the first time, hearing this for the first time, turn away now, turn your dial down if you don't want to know. Indiana defeated Milwaukee 125-108 to level that series 1-1. Minnesota defeated Phoenix 105-93 to take a 2-0 series lead there. And Dallas and the LA Clippers, game 2, 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and Dallas lead that one at the moment, 84-76. So that's the latest in that one for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road. And make sure, if you are on the market for new cars, new tyres for your car, or you just need a tyre safety check, drop into your local Tyre Power. They're everywhere. They'll look after you. Tell them we sent you as well. They are locally owned. And Lost in the Wash, by the way, brought to us by Showers at Dog Washers. All footy clubs need one in here. If you don't know what Showser is all about, they bring the dog wash to you, and you can help raise money for your local footy club or your netball club or your sporting club with a Showser dog wash, to have those that are around your area wash their dog at your Showser dog wash. Check it out on Showser, S-H-O-W-Z-E-R, if you want to find out more about Showser dog washes. All footy clubs need one. Lucas Herbert, he's happy to hold the line. He's going to join us straight after the break. He's the man that helped the Western Bulldogs fix their goal kicking as well. We'll talk to the Live superstar next. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have your calls and your texts coming through. Always great to have so many texts on that 40 Winks temper text, 0433 98 11 16. Keep them coming through. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is temper, T-E-M-P-U-R. You can Google the whole temper range, or you can check them out at your local 40 Winks. Live Golf returns to Adelaide this weekend after it's been amazing the last couple of years watching golf, see it transform. And SEN's going to be there, by the way, at Grange with Pat Welsh. Miles Fitzner's going to be in there. Nicky Dowsado's going to be there. Matt Rogers will be leading the coverage as well on the SEN app and SEN Fanatic. So you'll have plenty of opportunities to listen to it through the app from Friday live. Grange Golf Course, could not get a better course in Australia, one of the best in the world. And Lucas Herbert, who's jumped to the Live train, has been good enough to join us. Welcome to you, Lucas. Great to have you on.
Thanks, mate. Good to be on.
It's nice to have you on. It's a pretty exciting time to be talking golf. I know there's been all this kerfuffle over the past 2 years, what's right, what's wrong, but it seems like it has changed golf for the better.
Yeah, I guess we're in a bit of a tricky phase at the moment. Obviously, you know, we'd love to be playing against the best players in the world as a holistic idea a little more often, but you know, a little bit of competition and shaking the whole environment up has definitely been good for the game. you know, I think eventually in the long run it will be good. And it's sort of nice to be in the environment and watch all the moving parts happen right in front of me.
So when you were growing up, obviously golf was pretty settled in what it was, the US PGA Tour, the European Tour. You had your tours here through Asia and the different parts of Australia's tour that you played in, obviously. But could you have dreamt in your wildest dreams that it would be shaken up this big?
No, I think even 5 years ago, mate, it would have been a bit of a pipe dream to think this was possible. So, yeah, very, very cool to be a part of and sort of get to participate in, yeah, that changing of the environment within the golf industry. And, yeah, even just presenting a new product to the Australian golfing public and you know, keep them entertained in a different way to what they're probably used to.
And as a golfer, you always knew golf was cool, but it seems like now all of a sudden golf does feel like it's one of those events that is cool to go to regardless of your age. You can go there and party in the Adelaide. Well, let's face it, Grange is going to be rocking.
Yeah, it's definitely the must-do thing in town this weekend here in Adelaide for sure. And it's good to see a much younger demographic being involved. Obviously, like you said, in the golfing industry, in the golfing events as well, trying to reshape golf a little bit and make it fun and enjoyable and cool. So, yeah, definitely get down here if you can to Adelaide this weekend because there's a lot going on. You know, not only on the golf course, we've got plenty happening outside that and around the venue.
So you grew up in Bendigo. So give me your thoughts on what it feels like for those people who haven't been, because is it like a spring carnival event? You've been to plenty of spring carnivals. You've probably been to some F1 Grand Prix. What's it feel like if you can to compare it to something?
Yeah, I think we probably take a little bit on of the Formula One kind of model, I guess, of how things go and maybe that kind of progression of events throughout the week to, you know, for sort of non-golfing fans that maybe watch a little bit of F1, that's probably more of the model that we go off. But yeah, it's just a nice buzz around the place. Obviously, probably a similar kind of layout too to a Formula One event in the way of, you know, you're not going to be able to sit in one seat and be able to watch the entire contest go on. You're going to have to move around and watch different areas of the property to catch all the action that's going on. You know, if you do want to sit in one seat, the watering hole, the 12th, is probably your best bet. Yeah, great vibe about the place. You know, the music's always pumping. Yeah, there's always lots of good stuff, lots of fun stuff happening around in the fan village and everything like that. So, yeah, it's a very good demographic now, much younger demographic that we're getting in to attract to the game. And, you know, everyone that comes through the gate seems to have a lot of fun.
And you like meeting the fans? You seem like you're one of those guys who probably grew up, you know, idolising golfers and seeing them over the other side of the rope. They didn't feel like they were touching distance away. They felt like sometimes they're miles away, but they're touching distance now, the fans, and you do get a chance to interact with them.
Yeah, it's good when you see so many kids out there watching the game as well. You know, if you can go and sign their hat or say hello, take a photo with them. You know, I remember when I was a kid what that felt like and how much that would make my day at these events, being able to get up so close to these guys and talk with them. You know, if I feel like I can do that for the other kids that come out here, it's pretty satisfying and it makes us feel like, you know, what we do week in, week out, you know, really has a positive impact on the world, the local community, you know, something outside of just us.
You're a Dogs fan as well. You went down and helped them out with their goal kicking and they responded. Lucas, let's give you some credit for that.
Mate, Brad Johnson's done an entire pre-season with them and I went there for 10 minutes, so I don't think I can take too much credit for it. But it was very fun to go down there and be a part of the process and watch them for a day and just see how they go about things, you know, see what I could learn from the way they do things and how they do processes and the way they sort of plan for all their games and everything like that. It was very cool, you know, very cool to be a part of all that. And you know, if I did help them at all, that again, that was pretty satisfying to sort of feel like it was just good to see them kick the way they did in that Thursday night game against St Kilda. Regardless of whether I had anything to do with it, because I think they've been working really hard on things over the off-season.
Yeah, but tell us the truth. You were sitting there watching that game, hanging on every kick of goal, weren't you?
I definitely was watching, more as a fan than as any kind of employee. But, yeah, like I said, mate, they work really hard down there. They're very switched on to what they're doing. I don't think don't think it was much to do with me turning up at the kennel for the day.
Well, talk us through, because it is kind of the same. You're thinking of something mentally while you're doing something mechanically. So talk us through the things that are the same when it comes to goal kicking and putting, because you are one of the best in the game.
Yeah, I think it's just the conversation that you have, you know, with yourself in your head as you sort of preparing to hit the putt or the shot or, you know, kick the goal, whatever the whatever it is you're about to do. It's just that you know, that process that you work through to try and get yourself calm and prep for what you're about to do. And then, yeah, just sticking to your routine as much as possible and feeling like it's, you know, as free-flowing as it can be. And, you know, you're not sort of getting in your own way and letting any anxiety that doesn't need to get involved get involved.
You say sticking to your routine, which I understand mechanically, but it's also sticking to the same mental routine, is it?
Yeah, as much as you can. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of shots that present different challenges. So just being able to go about them and process them, you know, essentially the same way and not give any shot more or less credit than what it deserves and what it should get. You know, they're sort of the most important things. And yeah, just making sure, obviously, when you step up to hit the shot that you know, you're very, very prepared for what you're about to do and very aware that, you know, you're accepting of whatever the consequences are of either pulling it off or not pulling it off.
And where are you grand final day, just for the record? Do you know what your program is?
I haven't thought that far ahead yet, mate. But if we're in America, I'm sure we'll be sat in front of a TV somewhere enjoying. You know, it'll be five in the morning, I'd imagine, or some sort of early hour of the morning. So probably a mimosa at that stage if we're going to drink early. But I'd say we might bust out a tuck of the Tim Tams as well for the occasion.
They might fly you home for the Thursday night goal kicking session and then fly you back again, Lucas. You're going that well. Great to have a chat, dear. Hey, good luck. What's on your agenda today? You're getting out on the. You got a practice round coming up. You got a meet and greet in the city of Adelaide. You're just going to hang around the putting greens at Grange.
Yeah, so we've got the pro-am today. So I'll play that and obviously just get as much done, as much prep as I can done. You know, for the week, obviously. A good challenge here at the Grange Golf Club this week. So you've got to be sharp on all parts of your game. So just try and, yeah, make sure we get locked into them and sharpen everything up so it's ready to go come Friday.
Great to have a chat to you, Lucas. So who are you playing with in the Pro-Am? I think you and I played in the Pro-Am. I think either the Masters or the Open might have been, trying to think of where it was. It might have even been Huntingdale years and years ago, the idiot with the ping eye twos. But do you know who you're playing with? How's that go normally when you get out there? You'd be playing with some dignitaries these days. Does the Premier get out there and hit a ball? What's he do?
Oh, I think if the Premier had any sort of say, I reckon he might have gotten Cam today. So I'm not 100% sure who we've got today. But yeah, we are quite lucky in the Pro-Ams in Oz. We've got a nice golfing community. So usually we get a few cross-sport guys that can come across, whether it be cricketers or footballers or something. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure who I've got. I haven't seen the draw yet. So I'm sure either way it'll be a lot of fun.
Have a bit of fun, Lucas. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining me.
Cool. Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Lucas Herbert, Australian LIV golf star. And you'll hear it all on SEN. Paddy Welsh, Miles Fitzner. Nick Dowsett is going to be part of the coverage as well. You can catch it on the SEN app or SEN Fanatic from Friday, live from Grain. So 11:30 a.m. Friday, right across the weekend on SEN Fanatic and the SEN app. Back after the break. Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Been a pleasure to have your company today. Thanks to all of you who joined me for Midday Madness. No Midday Madness tomorrow, obviously, with Anzac Day, but back for Midday Madness on Friday. So please join me midday Friday and we'll take another couple of hours of your calls. Always great to be able to be here with you at midday every day, but I'll be with you at 2 o'clock. Tomorrow with Jared Waitley and I as part of the SEN Anzac Day coverage. Don't forget SEN and AFL Nation coming your way tonight with the call of the big one between Melbourne and Richmond tonight. So plenty coming your way on SEN AFL-wise, even if I'm not here at midday tomorrow. Also, don't forget the Mavericks v. The Fever, John Cain Arena, Saturday, April 27. Go to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. And you can check out more info as well on that Melbourne Mavericks website, melbournemavericks.com. That's it for me today, though. It's been an absolute pleasure to have your company. So many people calling that Werribee Kia open line. And if you are in the market for a new or a used car, the team at Werribee Kia will look after you just like family. Visit Werribee Kia. They make buying cars easy, and they've got a heap of brand new cars at drive-away prices, including the the 2024 new Kia Seltos from just $31,990 drive away, the 2024 Kia Sorento from only $52,990. Plus, there's finance and trade-in offers on now with $500 gift cards to go with it. So, terms and conditions apply, but drop down to Werribee Kia and say hello to David and Janan and Aid. Jim will be down there. Drop down, say hello, tell them we sent you. And you can also have a test drive or have a little chat about one of their over 300 late model used cars that they've got in stock as well. So drop down and see them. Old Geelong Road, Hoppers Crossing. Or call the hotline, 1300-BY-KIA. That's 1300-289-542. Or you can visit their website and check out what stock they've got. Werribeekia.com.au, LMCT114. Time to celebrate some lives as well. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals. Visit TobinBrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Happy birthday to SEN's very own bowlologist, Damien Fleming, who turns 54 today. And speaking of sporting royalty, Australian tennis hero Ash Barty also celebrating her birthday today. The former world number one and three-time Grand Slam winner retiring in 2022. And we miss her. Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. It's all there on the podcast as well. If you want to download the whole show, have a listen in your own free time. Or if you missed our chat with Lucas Herbert or our chat with Sammy Edmund with the latest breaking news, it's all there broken down the podcast or in one great big bite-sized piece. You can check it out any day in your own good time. Coming up, Andy Gazy. They're looking forward to your company next, followed by Sports Day and then, of course, that Richmond v Melbourne game live from the MCG on AFL Nation. I'll catch you on AFL Nation at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon or for Midday Madness again, Dwayne's World on Friday. Enjoy your day.